What's up, family? Welcome to Speak, a jam-packed show today. There was so much going on in yesterday's draft. You see the action behind you, the smiles, posting with the commissioner, all of it. But here was the surprise of it all. It was a record-setting NFL draft. Think about how many quarterbacks were taken, family. You saw six quarterbacks taken in the first round. That's a tie for a draft record. You saw seven receivers taken in the first round. Superstar talent, superstar players, a superstar draft, and we plan on having a superstar show. Let's get to it. We got Dave Hellman with us. Dave, glad to have you, big dog.
Back in my old seat. What's
up? Yes, you are.
Let's go.
Yes, you are. Old seat, new takes. We got Joy Taylor. Joy, how are we?
I'm great. That was a fun night last night.
It was, in fact. Eagles all-time rushing leader LeSean Shady McCoy, when he breaks out the glasses, you know it's going to be a good show. You know it is going to be a good show. It's all business for Shady today.
No, I'm just chilling.
My objective is to try to get Shady to laugh in the first 2 minutes of every show. I have failed miserably today. Dave Hellman, biggest winner in the NFL draft, quickly.
The Bears.
The Bears. Joy Taylor.
The Bears.
Bears. Shady McCoy.
Falcons.
Ooh, it's going to be a show. Well, he said the Falcons. Let's talk about the Falcons, because the draft started when the Falcons finally made their pick. Early on in the top 10, we were like, who will the Falcons take? And to everyone's surprise, Michael Penix Jr. included, with the 8th overall pick, the Falcons drafted him? But here's the shocker, family. They signed Kirk Cousins in the offseason to a 4-year, $180 million deal. Now let's get to it. I think it was a brilliant move. Looking at you when I say this. Family, I'm not going
to I can't wait to hear it.
Falcons fans, do not be fear-mongered, please. Do not let fear have you convinced that this wasn't a brilliant move. It was a brilliant move because the Falcons are both trying to win now and win later. When so many teams talk about winning now, they're winning now and sacrificing winning later. Think about the Los Angeles Rams. Draft, acquire Matthew Stafford because you want to win now, but you're sacrificing winning later. What the Falcons are doing is both acquiring Kirk Cousins to win now, but then you draft Michael Penix Jr. so that you can win later. We all know the empirical data, it suggests you don't want to have to start your rookie quarterback right away. Patrick Mahomes, Brock Purdy, Jalen Hurts. Justin Herbert didn't even start his first game. Jordan Love, Josh Allen, Lamar Jackson, the top quarterbacks, at least the quarterbacks that are having immense success right now, did not have to start right away. So Falcons, check. You don't have to start your quarterback right away because you have Kirk Cousins. You acquired Kirk Cousins so that you can win now. And most importantly, Falcons, you did your dirty work in the last three drafts. Bijan Robinson, Kyle Pitts, Drake London. Then you did your work in the offseason. Rondell Moore, Darnell Mooney. So as a result, the roster offensively was stacked. You had the luxury of drafting a quarterback, preparing for the future while still winning in the present. I loved the decision, and don't let fear convince you otherwise. Shady McCoy, you said the Falcons are the biggest winners, big dog. Why?
Yeah, you know, how do you feel about the decision? You know, I always talk about, like, going out there and getting who you want. I remember with the Bills, where Josh Allen, he wasn't the number one pick or quarterback in that draft, right? Baker Mayfield, for some people, thought he was the best one, right? Lamar Jackson was the last one, the first round to get picked.
Yes, sir.
So when you think of it, yo, we got the guy we wanted. The Ravens got the guy they wanted. And they might have waited to the last pick of the first round to get it, but they got him. The Bills, right? Sam Darnold went. Baker Mayfield went. Who was the other one? And
Rosen. Yep.
Josh Rosen. And he went for the Cardinals. So the Bills, they wanted to get Josh Allen. They got him. The Falcons, they wanted their guy. Now, the only thing is puzzling is because when you go out there and you pay a guy $180 million, right, free agency, you put all this money into him, and now knowing that he's not going to be the future. Now, he is 36 years old.
Of course.
Right? But if you want to get better right now, you should probably use your first-round pick for that. I just think that they won because they got the guy they wanted. And then knowing this, a guy like Raheem Morris, head coach of the Falcons, he's a defensive guy, right?
Mm-hmm.
So I thought they would go defense. Offense looks young, looks good. They didn't go defense. And that lets me know that either one is, you know what the hell you're doing, or two is, I'm that confident in my defense as a coach that I'm going to make sure we're going to be good enough on defense to be solid enough where our offense can take over the game. So, I mean, it's, in my opinion, it's a win-win because you do got Kurt and you have your young quarterback, Michael, that could learn from him. Only thing is, he ain't a young rookie. So if he waits, let's say...
Talk about it, Shady.
I love the pick, but it's just like, it's so many question marks on everything. It's not a question mark on every pick you have. Because let's say he's, 24 right now?
23, I believe.
He's 23, right?
He's turning 24 in a week and a half.
Okay, that's what it is. So he's 24. So let's say Kurt plays 2 years. Now, I don't even want to go if Kurt plays well, right? Let's say it's 2 years, then you're like, all right, let's move on, correct? So your starting quarterback's going to be 26 years old?
Yeah.
That's tough, 27?
It doesn't bother me, though, Joy, because what I've learned in the NFL, especially now, age, not just in the NFL, age in life is relative. How old you are is dependent upon when you're going to die. not to be morbid, but that's just what it is. You feel me? Like, your age is all dependent upon relativity. So if the average NFL quarterback, not the average, but the number of quarterbacks who play above the age of 35 and above the age of 38, it is exponentially increased. I have the data ahead of you so y'all can see. Look at the 7-year stretch from 2007 to 2013, 7-year stretch, the last 7 years. The number of quarterbacks that are playing well above 38, the starts well above 35, it's exponential, 40% increase. So he starts from 26. Cool. And that's if he doesn't start till he's 26. He could easily start at 25. So I have no issue with it.
What if, last question. Now, what if Kirk balls out the second year, right?
That's a great question.
Right? Yeah. You got a young offensive team that's rolling, getting all these picks and all that. You talked about the year before, right? You got Pitts, you got all these guys. And he balls out in the 2 years. The fans love him, right? The teams love him. We get good. We go to the playoffs, and we fall short. We fall this much short. Coming into the third year, what you going to do? Because when they got Jordan Love, because I heard the GM and the head coach talking about Jordan Love kind of inspired him for this move. The difference was when they got Jordan Love, right, Aaron was showing some decline a little bit. They thought he was going to decline. Like, maybe it's a time for Aaron Rodgers. Mm-hmm. Well, now you go out there and you pay a dude 180, and he comes there. And if he plays well in the second, third year, Joey, what are you going to do?
Trade Michael Penix. I mean, I hear you on the age thing, and I like this move, but, like, the NFL is a young man's game. Yeah. And of those numbers of 35
most plus, games,
how many just, of them are winning? Because you got to take Tom Brady out because mm-hmm. he curves everything. I actually like this move by the Falcons. I mean, I think it was mostly unexpected from everyone.
The whole world.
Especially everybody. Kirk Cousins. But this is onions. Go for it. Look, also, we're talking about Kirk Cousins as if they have just acquired Aaron Rodgers or they've just acquired Tom Brady. Respectfully, Kirk Cousins has one playoff win in his 12-year career. He's 36 years old, coming off of an Achilles injury. We are assuming that Aaron Rodgers is going to come back looking like an MVP at almost 40 or 40 off of an Achilles injury. Is there any question about what Kirk Cousins is going to look like? I understand neither of these guys are Lamar Jackson, but it still requires a little bit of athletic ability to play quarterback in 2024. So this could be a question. The other part of this is if Kirk is competent, if Kirk is just baseline what he normally is, you're not going to be picking that high in the draft. So you're not going to have an opportunity to go and get the guy that you want or that you're interested in at the top of the draft without having to move up and leverage more of your future with other picks. So if this is a guy that you were interested in, you didn't expect him to be available to you, and he is, why not bring him in the building? Now, I am on the opposite side of not playing young players right away, but if you are in the unique position that they are in, where they have Kirk Cousins, who is a competent starter, who can win a playoff game and certainly puts you in a position to be competitive. We all felt good about the Falcons and where they were headed this year without this move. Now you have your incumbent in the building. And really, when you look at the Kirk deal, yes, it's $180 million. Yes, it's a 4-year deal. We know this is not a 4-year deal. No one really expected Kirk Cousins to even be, I certainly didn't expect him to be there for all 4 of these years. So after the first 2 seasons, or even after next year, you move around again. The quarterback market is completely different than it has ever been in the history of the sport. Players move. Players get traded, big-time players, players that you would not expect to be in a different place because they ask for it. So I think this is a smart move to have Kirk in the building. You don't know what he's going to look like yet. If he's great, good, you already paid him, and you can let Michael Penix sit. If he's not, well, you have Michael Penix in the building, but you weren't going to be in a position to get a Michael Penix if you were to just ride out with Kirk Cousins as your quarterback because he's going to be too good to put you in this position again.
I cannot believe that I am on an island when I say I hate this decision by the Atlanta Falcons. And I want to get out in front of it and say it's nothing about or against Michael Penix Jr. He's a great young quarterback. I hope he has the chance to shove it in a lot of people's faces. Michael, wishing nothing but success for you.
Wow.
It's not your fault that your name was called by a team that doesn't seem to know what it wants to be. And that's my biggest problem. The Atlanta Falcons are trying to weirdly have their cake and eat it too. Like, I get, like, Michael Penix, good young player. You might not get a chance to draft this highly again. Why did you sign a quarterback to a $180 million deal 6 weeks ago if this was even a thought in your mind? Literally, the quote from the Falcons themselves after the first round of the draft ended was, if he doesn't play for 4 or 5 years, that's a good problem to have. No, it's not. Why is that a good problem to have? Quick, everybody, what's the biggest cheat code in the NFL?
Quarterbacks on the rookie deal.
A quarterback on a rookie deal. Can you take advantage of a quarterback on a rookie deal if a quarterback on a $200 million deal is in front of him? Absolutely no, you cannot. If you sign Kirk Cousins to a deal like this, Joy, you said go for it with Michael Penix. No, You went for it when you signed Kirk, warts and all. And I get it. He doesn't have the playoff success. You made that bet. And now in the NFC, where you have an easier path to the Super Bowl, when you have a 35, soon to be 36-year-old quarterback, you do something to help him. They could have traded out of this pick, got more resources, and still been the first team to draft a defensive player, because the first 14 picks were offense. They could have gotten an edge rusher. They could have gotten a cornerback. For that matter, they could have gotten real nuts and drafted Rome Odunze or Brock Bowers to make the offense that much more disgusting. There's half a dozen different things they could have done. And instead, they guaranteed a contract to a guy that they hope doesn't play. Think about that.
But Dave,
they're a contender to win their division, and they hope their top 10 draft pick doesn't play.
They already did their work. It's like when you was a kid, if you already take care of your homework, your mom will let you play a little bit earlier. They took care of their homework in the offseason. Rondell Moore, Darnell Mooney, that is taking care of your work. They definitely didn't need any offensive help.
You did a great job of listing the offense. Now do the defense
right
for me.
And this is where I co-sign what Shady was saying earlier. Raheem Morris is a defensive mind. Kyle Shanahan's an offensive mind. Reason I bring up Shanahan, I'll let you know in a moment. If you're a defensive coach, you're saying to yourself, I will make up for what my defense lacks. What I'm going to do is make sure in the future I'm set offensively. And the future literally could be in 12 months. So I'm not mad at a defensive coach doing this. Raheem Morris, he better do it, because he's the one who has to make up for not drafting Dallas Turner, for not drafting Verse. Raheem Morris better do it. I like that Raheem Morris did it, because like Shady said, you're either crazy or you're confident. I'm betting that Raheem Morris is confident. He's looking at his roster and saying, you know what? I can win with this defense. And I did my work in the offseason when I acquired Moore. Offensively, if they roll out there in 11 personnel, you got Mooney, you got Drake London, you got Pitts, you got Bijan Robinson, you got Rondell Moore.
Offense
is set.
Yeah.
So you didn't need help on offense. You got a defensive-minded coach. He'll take care of the defense. I love it. Plan for the future while taking care of the present.
The best, like the upshot of this at the end of the day is you either wasted a top 10 contract or you wasted a $200 million contract. Neither one of those things is good. Y'all talked about it a minute ago. Kirk Cousins, when it's palatable to move on from him, Michael Penix could be as old as 26. When his guarantees are completely done on his deal, he'll be 27 years old. That's, people bring up Jordan Love. Jordan Love was 21 when the Packers did that. And by the way, Aaron Rodgers was 15 years in with the Packers, and to Shady's point, was declining. It makes sense to do this if this is your quarterback who you have watched decline. The Falcons got engaged to this guy a month and a half ago. Think about it in those terms.
But
they ID'd him as the future of the next 2 to 4 years of their franchise. And immediately after that, we're like, oh, this guy looks pretty good, too.
And if you want a quarterback, right, and you want a free agent to get him, stay there with it. But if you want a quarterback, you're like, yo, let's get one in the draft. It's like, it can't be both. It can't be, yo, I want to get a quarterback in free agency, but then I'm going to get one in the draft. You know what I'm saying? So,
yes.
I love the pick because I'm happy that they got their guy. I hate when teams just pick a player just because, oh, we need a quarterback. Let's just get one of the good guys. No, I want the guy I want, and they got the guy they want. My only issue is when you were doing your homework on, like, what do we need for our team, right? We need some defense, and we need a quarterback. When you were sitting in these meetings with the GM and all that and all the coaches, whatever, and you circle who you want to get, it was Kirk Cousins, cool, because you paid a lot of money to get him, so you really wanted him.
Sure.
But then you got to the draft, it should have been like either the draft or free agency. I don't think it should be both. That's my only concern and issue.
Think about it this way. People love to say this. Brandon Bean, the general manager of the Bills, said it about Josh Allen. And yeah, we gave up a lot to get him, but who cares because it worked.
Yep.
Right.
If Kirk Cousins works out, you can't say who cares because it worked, because you wasted a top 10 pick that could have helped your team.
Yeah.
And if Michael Penix winds up working out for the Falcons, you can't say who cares because it worked, because you wasted tens of millions of dollars paying Kirk Cousins when you could have done something else with that money.
Is it wasting or trying?
Pick a path. Pick a direction and stick to it.
I don't think it makes sense to do both. I hear you, it's mixed messages, but when it comes to this position and when we look objectively at what Kirk Cousins is, Kirk Cousins is excellent at making a lot of money, right?
He sure is.
What he's not excellent at is winning playoff games, and as of recently, staying healthy. So while we all like Kirk Cousins, he is a likable starting quarterback. What are you aspiring to do with Kirk Cousins? I didn't hate this move at all. Pay Kirk Cousins, bring him in, show everyone that you're trying to win. That's what they did. Well, now you identify that you like Michael Penix Jr. Maybe they didn't expect him to be there, but Kirk Cousins isn't a long-term situation. I understand that Penix is a bit older, but even if Kirk Cousins plays 1 year and Penix sits, what's wrong with Penix playing in his sophomore season and you moving on from Kirk after that?
My only argument with that would be it would cost the Falcons
a lot of money to do that.
$35 million to move on from Kirk next year, which is doable, but not cheap.
Who want to do that?
But here's my thought process, though, Dave, is I agree with Joy on this matter. I actually think it makes the most sense to do both. You keep saying it makes no sense to do both. I think it makes the most sense to do both because if you do both, if you take care of the present while simultaneously taking care of the future, then you'll never have a valley. You'll just hopefully have nothing but peaks, like the Green Bay Packers have done for the last 25 years. But a quarterback is expensive.
Right.
And so I actually think it makes the most sense because Kirk Cousins is the present, obviously. But Kirk Cousins is not the future. Andy, do we have the future of Falcons full screen? Because if we do, I want to show you all this. Think about the Atlanta Falcons future. Michael Penix is 23. Bajan is 22. Pitts is 23. Drake is 22. Mooney's 26. Rondell's 23. That's the future of the Falcons family. 35-year-old Kirk Cousins does not fit in that full screen, literally and figuratively. So the future of the Falcons is in phenomenal hands. That is your starting offensive skill unit for the next, hopefully, 5 years. And in the next 5 years, if Kirk takes two of those years, so be it. If he takes one, so be it. I actually think that it is brilliant because Joy said this 10 minutes ago. You don't have the luxury of drafting Penix because you're not going to draft that high because you're not going to be rolling out there the quarterback from Cincinnati whose name has forgotten me right now. You're not rolling out there Taylor Heineke. You're not rolling out there Marcus Mariota. You're rolling out there Kirk Cousins who will win 9 or 10 games. Thus, you're drafting in the 20s. And Shady, lastly, I'll say this. I don't think they knew they could get Penix.
Right.
We were all shocked. Here's why. When the Cardinals came up, I was like, Cardinals going to trade out this joint. Of course, they're going to trade it. Wait, Cardinals took Harrison? Oh, okay. When the Chargers trade came up, Chargers about to trade out this joint. Somebody going to trade up, get a court. Wait, Chargers took the old lineman? When the Giants came up, I was like, okay, Giants will either take neighbors, like I was saying yesterday, I was like, or they'll trade back. Wait, Giant, everything went chalk. So I think the Falcons were sitting there like, wait a second, Penix is still here? And they loved Penix. I didn't like Penix in the top 10. I love Penix. They're like, yo, he's still here? Bet. I guess we'll take him then.
Well, everything I've seen, they didn't have him going in the top 10.
But the Falcons did. I didn't, you didn't, Joy didn't.
There were reports that several other teams were trying to trade into the top 10 to get him as well. Yeah, I mean, you always have to take that with a grain of salt.
I guess I understand the pick. And I love that they got the guy they wanted, but it's just, when you look at, like, the number game, I mean, we throwing the money around, it don't matter. It do matter. Like, you could have used $100 million. I ain't going to say the $180 with the whole contract. You could have used $100 million on other pieces on the team.
But you didn't know, 2-5. Talk to me now.
How did you not know?
They had the 8th overall pick.
So in the draft room, right, leading up to the draft is these big boards, right? And the scouts, GMs, they doing this all day and all night, talking about it. Who can we get? Different scenarios.
Yep.
And they have the guys they want first, the guys they want last. And you telling me even before the draft, in free agency, you go, look, we can get some guys in free agency that we need. We get guys in the draft. So you talked about that.
Yes, sir.
My thing is, if you need a quarterback today, you went out there and got you one for $180 million.
I'm saying, let me ask y'all this. I think we all would have been surprised. I'll speak for me, and then I'll ask you all. I am surprised that the fourth quarterback taken was taken at 8. I thought the fourth quarterback was going to be taken at 4.
That's surprising.
Or 5.
Yes.
So when I'm saying 2-5, and I'll speak to your heart for a moment, when you play blackjack, you can't regret the decision after you see that the dealer busted and you busted. Because you're making the best decision possible with the information you're given. The Falcons acquired Kirk Cousins because the information they were given was, we got the 8th overall pick. 8th is not good enough to get Penix. So let's acquire Kirk. Now that they realize retroactively we can still get Penix, go get Penix. I can't fault the Falcons because imagine this, Dave Hellman and Joy Taylor. Imagine if the Falcons don't get Kirk. And then at 4, the Cardinals trade out and the team trades in. Say it's the Vikings, say it's the Broncos, and they draft Penix.
What you mean, imagine they didn't get Kirk?
Imagine if they don't get Kirk Cousins this offseason. Right? Because they're going into the draft saying we want to get Penix.
You can't do that.
But that's what y'all are doing.
You're saying they didn't sign him.
Exactly.
Oh, okay. Like,
to me, what y'all are
doing. Well, then it worked out.
Yeah, but it's just too risky.
I still disagree.
At eight, it is too risky. None of us sat here yesterday thinking before the draft that everything was going to go chalk the way it did.
True. I agree.
So we think that. they are also studying the draft. They're also seeing what other people are interested in. They're also looking at other people's rosters and seeing who they might be taking.
Heck yeah.
They are assuming, like we did, that there was going to be a lot more movement at the top of the draft because there was so deep at the quarterback position, which is the most important position and the position that everyone is trying to fill and secure. I get it. It is expensive and it feels egregious. But if it ends up working out, those are checks I'm willing to write because that is a position that you have to get right. And again, Kirk is a very suitable quarterback, starting quarterback. He's good in the locker room. He's going to win you some games. He's going to put up some numbers. We don't know if he's going to win in the postseason because he's only done that once in 12 years. But he is 36 coming off of an Achilles injury. And I hate to, like, be all doom and gloom, but when did we just start acting like Achilles was like a...
Then don't sign him. I
did sign him. Because I was willing to take the risk at the time. But now I have an opportunity. I have an opportunity to get somebody who potentially could be there for the next 5 to 6 years. Kirk was never going to be there for that.
We haven't asked this question yet either. What's it not working out look like? Because it not working out looks really good. Dave, you keep presenting like the bad, which I understand because I think people who don't agree with the decision are incredibly rational. Duh, you shouldn't agree with the decision. That's low-hanging fruit. I think they're incredibly rational. But what does it not working out look like? It looks like Kirk Cousins plays well. It looks like Kirk Cousins plays well enough to trade, but not well enough to win. And now you got a 25-year-old Penix starting alongside a 24-year-old Bijan Robinson, alongside a 26-year-old Kyle Pitts, alongside a 24-year-old Rondale Mel. Like, what is it not? What's the worst-case scenario, family?
Worst scenario is...
Talk to me.
He balls out.
Right? Kirk does.
Kirk balls out, right? Because Kirk's not weak, right? And I think this would be one of his better offenses he's been around.
No doubt.
Right? So he balls out. And he puts pressure on you. So now, what are you going to do? You going to bench me for the young kid that we think is going to be good? Because I'm still balling. Okay, yep. Let's say the third year.
He moves on.
So this is the real thing. Is that division's not that division's not hard.
Correct.
At all, right? It's not that good of a team in there. So let's say we win divisions and all that, and we a competing team, contender. And the third year, it's like, yo, what do we do?
But if you're not winning deep into the postseason, that's going to feel like you're not accomplishing what you set out to do.
And
his cap hits in years 3 and 4, $57.5 million each, but the dead cap after the first two seasons is $25 million, which is manageable. So in theory, I've always looked at this Kirk Cousins deal as a two-year deal.
I think it's a two-year deal.
So yeah, like the money with the cap hit, this is a two-year deal. So in the worst-case scenario, obviously you would have wanted somebody who could contribute right away. But you could also look at this as something that you're storing for later. Assuming this is a two-year deal, that's how we're all reasonably approaching this. Michael Penix plays right after the 2 years.
But my question is, let's say he balls for 2 years, right?
Okay.
So the Falcons ain't having a lot of success in a long, long time.
Of course,
right? Matty Ice and
2016.
Okay, even better. They've been bad since then, right? You're in a bad division. Let's say you win a division in the second year, you ball now, you get to the playoffs, right? You win one game, you get to the second one, you get close, and you lose. Lose a close game. Hold on.
Right.
The third year, though, what we're saying that he's probably going to move on, as a coach, what's your job on the line? Do you want to move on and go to a rookie? So now it's like starting all over again.
Let me ask you this, because you were there for it. Now bring up something, and I'll ask it to you. I think, one, this is why they brought up the Packers situation. Let's remind everyone, Aaron Rodgers won back-to-back MVPs, and 12 months later, they traded him. Now, Aaron Rodgers, obviously, to some degree, he wanted out as well.
He didn't play well.
Yeah, he didn't play well. Right. But he won back-to-back MVP. So in three years after drafting Jordan Love, you had a bad season, you had two MVP seasons. I think you'd still say we should keep him. But beyond that, 2-5, and I don't want people to conflate what I'm saying here. I'm not comparing Michael Penix to this person. I'm comparing the ideal situations. The Chiefs were doing well with Alex Smith. They were doing well with Alex Smith.
They couldn't wait to move on from Alex Smith.
No doubt about it.
Okay.
But they were doing well. They were winning 12 games. Andy Reid winning 11 games going to the playoffs. You moved on. You had a better quarterback behind. Obviously, Pat is Pat. I'm not comparing Pat and Penix. But what I am comparing is situationally, you have a guy who is good enough to win you games. Even if Kirk Cousins balls out, he's not winning a Super Bowl. Kirk Cousins balling out, he's going to throw for 33 touchdowns, about 11 picks. They're going to win about 10 games. That's what Kirk Cousins always do. He is one of the most consistent quarterbacks in football. I think you got two great years with Kirk, and you move on. I just think it was wise.
But even if you do win a Super Bowl, who cares? You can't argue that you'd have done something with that pick in the top of the draft.
Win,
how
fine.
Much better can it be than winning a Super Bowl? There is no
it's
better
a win-win.
Than winning that.
If this was what you wanted to do, you could have just done it in such a more cost-effective way. Like, why couldn't Jacoby Brissett be on the Falcons for $10 million,
Kirk is better.
But if you even
thought there was a chance you were going to do this,
But define,
you don't hand out a contract
it's
like
not,
that.
It's not in their hands is what I'm saying.
That's like, where I agree.
The draft, if you are picking at
what did we do?
The picks ahead of you are not in your hands.
If they were at three, I'm with you. Because they're at eight, I'm with Jordan.
We spent 2 months talking about the Minnesota Vikings going for a quarterback, and they had a worse pick than the Falcons did. Mm-hmm. If you are eighth overall, you are in striking distance,
Dave,
at least.
Here's
the
difference.
You can make it work from there.
Because you bring up this word, you could have done it much more cost-effective. Let's define cost. You can define cost in $100 million, or you can define cost in first-round picks. For the Falcons to guarantee they get the quarterback they would have wanted, it would have cost them multiple first-round picks to guarantee it, because it would have cost them multiple first-round picks to trade into the top three. They sat there and said, you know what? Oh, Penix is still available at eight? Then I'm going to take him. So, Dave, have the Falcons used 2, 3, 4 first-round picks to acquire Penix, we still would have been like, ugh, y'all gave up all that to get Penix? So we can't retroactively try to rewrite the history of the story here. They got Kirk. It was smart. Penix is still there. It was smart. Worst-case scenario, they win. Well, boo-hoo.
I just feel like, man, getting a top 10 pick and you don't get your team better that year, that's just hard for me to sit with. But like I said before, I love the move because they got the guy they wanted. They didn't trade up, trade this and that to get the guy they wanted. They got him. But on the other side, it's like, yo, man, the reality is you spent a lot of money to get the same position, and you didn't get better that this year.
That's true. That you can't argue that. Like, you can't argue that.
It's hard to imagine, like I said, it's hard to imagine a future where one decision doesn't hurt the other. Like, either Kirk Cousins and his contract are in Michael Penix's way, or Michael Penix was a pick that could have been a more useful player for Kirk Cousins. Like, one of those things feels very likely to happen. That's all.
My only final thought, Dave, for you, and I know I need to go to break. My final thought, though, is aren't the best quarterback situations, and some teams luck into it, and I think rather than it being done incidentally, the Falcons are doing it intentionally, when you just go from one quarterback to another, when you can just go from Aaron Rodgers to Love, when you can go from Alex Smith to Pat. Thankfully, the Cowboys went from Romo to Dak, but we know they kind of lucked into Romo, and shout out to Dak and Romo for both working out. But I kind of like it because isn't this the best case scenario? You just go from one quarterback to another gracefully. Gracefully.
They could have done that. I'll shout out my guy Jacoby Brissett again because I think he's a good player. They could have done that for a fraction of the cost and done the exact same thing. That's
a million bridge quarterbacks you get. They do it all the time.
But Kirk's not bridge, though.
That's a great point.
But it's a bridge situation.
They didn't sign a bridge
situation. It's a bridge situation.
This situation only works assuming that they get Penix.
You can't make that assumption.
You can make that assumption if you were willing to trade up to four.
You can't make that assumption.
Because we knew that 1 through 3 weren't moving without a king's ransom. So assuming that you were only in play for four, you cannot assume that he was going to fall to you. So I hear you. You're totally right. But all of this is based off of information we have now.
No, we didn't have it then.
I'm rooting for Michael Penix. I will never believe that the Falcons' process to get here was sound.
That's fair. Well, what is sound is the Bears' offense because they are stacked. Family, not only did they get Caleb Williams, but then they backdoored and got Rome Odunze. The Bears' offense is one of the best in football as it pertains to names and talent on the depth chart. So can they instantly compete? Are they immediately contenders? That is next. Don't forget, check us out every day on the Fox Sports Channel series. SiriusXM, the most exciting draft in years. Our draft preview is sponsored by Zillow. Agents, tours, loans, homes. Well, Caleb Williams has found his new home in Chicago. But not only that, after drafting him number one overall, the Bears went out and got him some help. Rome Odunze with the 9th pick. I was absolutely stoked to see what they did offensively there. Joy, did the Bears draft make them instant playoff contenders? Phenomenal draft.
Yeah, I think it did. I think they were contenders before the draft. Obviously, we all knew Caleb Williams was going there, but to also get Rome Odunze is incredible. I don't want to get too crazy with the expectations and the demands that we have on this team, but I think the horses have probably already left the barn on that. This is a very tough division, and I'm not with everyone on the Lions and the Packers taking a significant step back. But we do know there are always new teams that are entering the playoffs every single year. There's turnover, there's injuries, there's things that we don't expect happening. So I think that they should be contending for a playoff spot. They are a very unique team to pick number one overall for a lot of reasons. And Ryan Poles has played an instrumental part in the position that they are in. Obviously, they weren't the worst team in the league last year. That was the Panthers. So they really are kind of a confusing space. Like, they have the number one overall pick, but they They won some games last year, so they shouldn't have been
not a terrible
position.
Team.
But what he's done, Ryan Poles, is really incredible. He's really set them up for success in a really significant way. Obviously, one's going way back where we were arguing about whether they should stick with Fields again, but staying with Fields and trading that number one pick to acquire DJ Moore. Then Justin Fields starts. You not only give him a final opportunity to show what he's capable of doing, but you win some games, put him in a good position. You secure the number one overall pick because of the trades you made with DJ Moore. Now, that was a little bit of luck, but luck favors the prepared and the brave. So there you go. Now you have the number one overall pick, and Caleb Williams is in this draft. Amazing. You get Keenan Allen, you get DeAndre Swift, then you trade Fields, which was controversial. There were a lot of people in Chicago that wanted them to stick with Fields. He went for, which I think, obviously, and we all think at this point, was the right move to make. But you do right by him, sending him to the Steelers, which is a good organization where he will probably get an opportunity. And now you have Caleb Williams, which we all knew was going to happen, but you get Romanidunze.
It's a nice
night. It's a really incredible stretch for Ryan Poles. I'm excited to see what they do. I think that the moves that they've made that I just outlined, along with the fact that you have what we all think is a generational player. You're pairing him with another exciting, really talented rookie. You saw them last night, excited to play together. Again, I think this is going to be one of the toughest divisions in football, but if they can get things right and get things rolling, I don't see why they wouldn't be competing for a playoff spot.
No, I agree with that wholeheartedly. I'll take it a step further. I think they should compete for a playoff spot. I think they should compete in the division. I went back and did some homework in regards to what Joy was mentioning earlier. When I think about the 2022 playoff picture versus the 2023 playoff picture, and I think about those NFC teams particularly, remember the Eagles and the Niners, they played each other in the championship game. Remember the Vikings lost to the Giants in the first round of the playoffs. Remember the Seahawks, they were in the playoffs as well. So I thought to myself, wait, the Seahawks will likely get better. Geno Smith, they wrote him off. He didn't write back. I thought, well, the Giants will get better. Daniel Jones had 23 touchdowns total, only 5 interceptions. I thought to myself, the Cowboys, their roster is stacked. The Eagles, surely Jalen Hurts is going to build on his all-pro season. The Vikings, they look like they're in good hands. Their coach is a young coach. He's going to ascend. But family, what happened in 2023? Only 2 of those teams got better. The Eagles got substantially worse. The Vikings, they got injured, and they got substantially worse. The Cowboys, they got their doors blown off in the playoffs. They got worse. The Vikings took a major step back. Seahawks took a step back. Giants took a step back. The Bucks and the Niners got better, and you could argue marginally got better because the Niners, who knows if they would have been in the Super Bowl if Brock Purdy didn't get hurt the year before. I say that to say teams going to be out of there. Teams that were in the playoff picture in the NFC will not be in the playoff picture. I think the Chicago Bears are a team that will ascend. They should ascend. Offensively, not only do you have Allen, Swift, DJ Moore, Adunze, but they do different things. Like Keenan Allen, he's not taking the top off of a defense, but 8 to 12 yards, he's getting busy. Then DJ Moore, he's taking the top off a defense. Then Adunze can do a little bit of everything in between. He'll attack the middle of the field. Then you have Komet, you have Everett. You have depth offensively, and I love that a defensive-minded coach did it. After week 10, the Bears had the number one scoring defense in football. Eberflus is saying, I'll cover my defensive side of the ball. Offense, y'all have no excuse. I trust the Bears to not only compete for the playoffs, I trust them, Shady, to compete in the NFC North. What you think, though? I said a lot.
I'm not looking for that. I mean, these guys are rookies, so I don't see them contending for playoffs and all that. Now, CJ Stroud, that did happen, so anything is possible. But that list you just showed, I didn't see teams depending on rookies to carry their team. That matters, though. You're talking about rookies coming in from college. You go to school, right? You got practice, and then it's chill. And NFL, this is your job. And I just know how hard it was for me as a rookie, right? Let alone being a quarterback. So I disagree. I think the second year, you know, I see some real pushing for the playoffs, pushing for that division. And I never really judge rookies. So if you could be like CJ Stroud and take your team to playoffs, yo, hats off to you. Yeah. But I just don't see this coming in there just because we make some good draft picks with the quarterback and wide receiver, and we just go automatically just be in the playoffs. I don't think.
Let me ask you this: through 5 last 8 games for the Chicago Bears, they were 5-3. Mm-hmm. Their 3 losses were to all playoff teams. I believe they were by 1 possession. They were to the Packers, they were to the Lions, and they were to the Browns. Mm-hmm. 5-3 with Justin Fields, a quarterback who, of anybody on national television, obviously you were most critical of. You don't like his game.
He's not that good. Yeah.
So the Bears were a 7-win team with Fields. 5-3 their last 8. I don't know that Caleb has to come in there and be Superman.
Yeah.
I think Caleb can come in there and be an above-average player, and with that talent on that roster, and those should be the expectations. I don't think he has to carry them. Well, based upon that, what would you say?
I just don't think it's that simple. I don't think it's that simple. It's okay. Our average quarterback has a lot of talent as far as his athletic abilities, right? He leaves, and then you put a really good quarterback from college into the pros to make it happen. I don't think it works just like that, right? The coach is going to call the game different for this rookie quarterback that just got there. The same way they call the game differently for Justin Fields when he just got there. Mm-hmm. This is how it works. So I just think, I mean, I'm not saying you're wrong, or because he could go out there and ball out and they could be in the playoffs. I'm just saying the way I see it, I don't think it's that easy. And
will he be worse than Fields, you think?
I don't know. He's a rookie. I don't know.
Okay. Yeah.
Right? Because we can sit here and go these numbers of good quarterbacks. Like Trubisky, he plays a rookie, right?
Yeah, of course.
And we thought he was good. Yeah. I mean, and he wasn't. He was awful. Peyton Manning, he was awful as a rookie.
But then he became good. To that point.
This is up and down. You never know.
But let me ask you, to that point, obviously my brother was on the Bears teams with Mitch Trubisky. They did go 12-4 while Mitch was there.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
They did go to the playoffs while Mitch was there. Right. It was not all because of Mitch. Mitch had a good year the year they went 12-4. I think
Manning was there too, as a good coach.
And not only that, they had a great defense.
But
Mitch didn't have to do everything.
Not his rookie year.
But the point being is, the quarterback didn't have to carry the team. Had a phenomenal team.
Right, but what
Shady's
talking about is the rookiness of it all.
I just love, like, you can tell we have an all-decade player on the desk because he's like, you're going to have to show me. Like, it doesn't matter. I don't care. I don't give a damn.
It'd be hard.
When you were drafted. I love your very reasonable, well-thought-out take, Shady, because I think, like, can we just be cautiously optimistic with the Bears? Is that okay? Like, I refuse to go 0-60. I'm so excited about the Bears. I don't need to repeat everything that y'all just said because you did a great job. I'll just mention Montez Sweat. Everybody this weekend is going to be like, the Bears don't have a second round pick. Yeah, they do. His name's Montez Sweat. He helped turn their defense around. There's so much to be excited about here. But we can still just wait and be cautiously optimistic and say they play a fourth place schedule. They have a rare quarterback running the show now. And they have a chance. I think the Bears have a chance to be in the playoff mix. To expect it, or certainly to expect them to win the division in a division with two teams that made the playoffs last year, it's not to say that they can't do it. I just don't think it's fair. And I know it's the NFL, but that's just, it is really hard to win. And we did a whole conversation about this like a week or two ago, Joy, where this is a culture that's not used to it. This is a head coach that's not used to it. Shane Waldron, the offensive coordinator, he's experienced, but not here. He's never done this. How is he going to work with Caleb and Matt Eberflus? I hate to bring this up because it's such a cop-out, but injuries will play a role in this.
But I think, Dave,
you never know.
I think the premise you built is flawed. Because you said, I'm not going to go from 0-60. That's assuming the Bears are at 0. If the Bears were at 0, I'd agree with Shady. I would agree with you.
The Bears were going 20 in a school zone. How's that? They were going 25.
I think that the Bears at the end of the season, particularly after Montez Sweat was acquired from Washington, I think they were a competent football team. Their record shows it
as
well.
I'm glad you said competent.
Yeah, they weren't world beaters. Yeah. I'm not at all overselling it. But the other, they were a competent football team. I'm not exclusively depending upon Adunze, but DJ Moore got busy in Carolina, came to a new city with a new coach, got busy again. Keenan Allen gets busy with every quarterback, with every offensive coordinator. So what I'm suggesting is that, like, the Bears are equipped to compete. I don't expect them to win the division, but I think they are equipped to compete.
What about this, this last thing? This is going to be a whole new offense, right? New quarterback, new wide receivers, college wide receivers. Keenan Allen's a new wide receiver, right? New running back. Does that matter? I mean, I'm just saying, we talk about just playing this game of football. Like, that means something. And then our leader, he coming from college. And I think he's a phenomenal player. I think he's going to have a tremendous NFL career. I can see him being all pro and all decade old. I can see Caleb Williams being that good. But I'm saying, he got to get there, though, because he's coming into a whole new thing. You know what I'm saying?
Like, we need to be talking about it. Expectations and capabilities are two different things. To me, I do not expect them to win the division.
Yeah, I
don't even expect them to make the playoffs necessarily. I do think that they are fully capable of it. I think that the roster, the moves that they've made, what they put around them, the fact that they were competent at the end of the season, the fact that they weren't the worst team in the league just because they were picking number one does not mean that they were actually that bad. I think all of those factors would make me feel comfortable about saying that they could be competing for both of those things, in fact, because there are going to be some changes about who wins the division. There are going to be some changes of who's in the playoffs. All those things are possible. But I am also simultaneously with Shady, which is I'm just going to enjoy watching this. I don't need to or expect anything from rookies. And I don't think that is an indictment of how good I think Caleb Williams is going to be. I think he's going to be spectacular. I'm excited to see him in the NFL. I also think the NFL is a different sport. It is a different speed. You are playing against professional players who are all grown men, some of whom have played with each other for many years. They know what to anticipate. They study tape differently. They're used to their routines. They're used to their systems. All those things matter. So I think that because they are in sort of a unique situation with the roster moves that they've made, with what they've put around him, with the fact that they weren't a traditional number one overall pick, it's not unrealistic to be to be optimistic about them competing for the playoffs.
I guess I look at it the exact same way as you. I just come to a different conclusion. Because if I think I'm capable of doing something, then I expect me to do it. Yeah. If I don't think I'm capable of it, I don't expect it. Hence, like, the Lakers, which we'll talk about later. I think Joy, me, you, James, Shady, we all differed. I didn't even think the Lakers were capable of beating the Nuggets. Hence why I didn't expect
it. But what makes you, because we are talking specifically about the rookie nature of it. We're not talking about the roster. Like, if it was, we're specifically talking about the rookiness of it all. So you don't think that that's going to... That doesn't shade your opinion about what you expect from them at all?
It does. To Shady's point, kind of trying to bridge the gap of the tension between Shady and I's take is, I just need Caleb to play at an above average level. Mm-hmm. So if I needed Caleb to play at a CJ Stroud level, then I'd be a little bit more worried. I don't need him to play a Stroud level. I need him to play at plus 25% of Justin Fields, which I believe Caleb is playing at. I think if you put Fields on this Bears roster, I think they win 8.5 to 9 games. Now, if you're putting Caleb Williams on this Bears roster, I think they win 9 to 11 games.
But 9 and 11 is a massive difference in the NFL.
Correct.
Colossal difference.
Correct. But as we all know, 24% of games are divided by 3 points or less. Right. That's why I'm just
But that's why I don't care about how close you are. If you miss a field goal to make the playoffs at the end of the season, that's
it matters.
Different. But losing 4 games close means you're not a good football team. That's insane. That is the difference that we're talking about here. So going from 9 games or 7 games to 11 games, that's a whole different world.
Yeah.
7 games to 11 games is a whole different world.
I guess I look at it defensively. Preparing for the Bears 2023 football team versus the Bears 2024 offensive football team, totally different.
Sure.
Because when I go out there and I'm defensively preparing for now DeAndre Swift in the backfield, and then I got to prepare for Keenan Allen on top of DJ Moore, and now you just said Rome Odunze is the third best wide receiver. So now my nickelback got to be as good as Odunze. Then because they're all different players, Keenan can play in the slot, Odunze can play in the slot, DJ can play in the slot, and they can all play on the outside as well. Mm-hmm. So just defensively, I'm like, that just became a much bigger nightmare.
And who has to run this?
Waldron. Oh, you're talking about Caleb.
I'm
talking about OC.
Caleb got drafted so high because he has that generational talent, right? Mm-hmm. For the future, the potential. I think that potential, he's going to be a Hall of Famer. Not in the first year. I don't never judge rookies because I know how hard it is. These guys I play with that I think was that good as rookies. And then the next year, I'm like, he is pretty good. Oh, no wonder they drafted him high. Mm-hmm. It happens all the time. So I just feel like with Caleb Williams, I mean, we're looking at his talent, right, and his potential. It's like, yo, they should just be a way better team. But you got to look at everything that counts for that. It's like, yo, the coach is going to be different. The way we coach this dude from Justin Fields. And it's all new receivers. Like, for example, I got to learn what's your best route. I got to learn what you like, but I got to learn how to run. All that matters, and you a rookie doing that? I think when we see a guy like CJ Stroud do it, we think everybody can do it. We don't know if CJ Stroud is going to keep going on that level, right? We think he is because he had a phenomenal rookie year, but there's a lot of players that's the other way around. Mm-hmm. That don't do well the rookie year, and then they become phenomenal, great players. So for me, I never, ever judge rookies because it's the hardest time to be a pro.
You know best. I'm not going to argue with you on that one. When we return, the Giants, they drafted a receiver instead of a quarterback at number 6 overall. At the desk, many said they should draft a QB. The Giants did not listen. How big of a mistake was that? But also, UFL is set to kick off this weekend, so we got to give you the stars to watch. That is next. An incredible draft, an incredible football weekend, incredible football time of year. All next on Speed. The Giants either made a colossal error or one of the best things in their franchise history. They got Daniel Jones. They had the 6th pick. Could have taken a quarterback, but instead, they picked former LSU wide receiver Malik Nabers with the 6th pick. Bringing us on camera, GM. He said simply that Malik was our guy. He's a guy we targeted. Dave, before you get a popping, man, I'm just going to quickly say I think they made the right decision. For the last, 3 days, I was saying, don't draft a quarterback at 6. I wanted them to draft a quarterback like Michael Penix, thinking he would go later. But don't draft a quarterback at 6. I think Malik Nabers and Marvin Harrison Jr., the 2 safest bets in this draft to be perennial Pro Bowl, all-pro caliber talents. I loved that the Giants got Nabers. Daniel Jones plus Nabers, in my mind, is greater than Penix plus question mark. So I loved it. But Dave, was it a mistake for the Giants to pass on a QB?
It feels good to agree with you about something today, because no, I don't think it was a mistake. And I don't think it's fair to say that they passed on a QB. I mean, strictly speaking, they did. But you got to think about the way NFL teams evaluate this stuff. The Giants probably had draftable grades at the top of the draft for one, maybe two quarterbacks. And to hear it from the reports, the Giants tried to go get Drake May. The Giants were interested in trading up to three to take Drake May, and New England told them to kick rocks. And I appreciate that rather than force it and draft a guy that maybe they didn't feel as good about, they said, you know what, we're going to take one of these three dogs at receiver. We're going to establish our offense because, look, the cupboard looks awfully bare at the skill positions. At least it did. I love it because you don't need to force this. Daniel Jones is on this team for another year, whether you like it or not. You gave him that contract. It was a mistake then. It's a mistake now. You get out of it next year. They have Drew Locke. I think people forget about that as well. Drew Locke did some good things for Seattle last year. I'm not trying to tell you he's like a Pro Bowler, but you can do stuff with these guys, especially you have Malik Nabers. They have two more opportunities to add talent here on Friday night. And you go forward into the future, you don't have to force this. That's how you make a mistake. When you get enamored with the idea of answering that question, you can draft the wrong guy. They tried Drake May. I applaud him for that. It didn't work. They pivoted. I think that's the way you're supposed to do it.
I think Malik is an incredible player.
Of course he is. He went to LSU.
He will be a better player when he has a quarterback that can throw the ball to him. Because in order for him to be a good player, he has to have the ball thrown to him.
True.
That's how that position works.
Yes.
Specifically. So, who has the worst roster in the division?
Toss-up.
I'd say the Giants.
Toss-up?
I'd say the Giants.
Toss-up?
Offensive roster, Giants. Yeah.
Okay. Well, it's an offensive league. and so they have the worst roster in the division. I don't hate the pick because I think he is a great player and will be a great player. They are the worst team in the division, and they're not going to compete for the division. Right? Anyone willing to bet that right now?
Not at all.
Okay, all of us are gamblers. No one's betting that. Will they be the third best team in the division?
Probably not.
So
I'm high on the Commanders right now. Just throwing that out there.
As am I. So the way that I'm looking at it is they have a really great player on a barren roster. They have a quarterback that none of us take seriously. And so,
Well, let me ask you this, Joy, because if everything you're saying is true, you added Malik Nabers, who we all love.
Right.
And if you stink, you'll be back in this situation next year without Daniel Jones's contract on your books, making life tougher on you.
How good, bad are you going to be? Are you going to be picking in the same spot?
Maybe you got enough money to go buy a Dak Prescott or something. I mean, there's any number of ways you can answer these questions.
I don't think it's a mistake because I think he's that good of a player. So I can't say mistake because that would be disingenuous. But they don't have a quarterback that I think can compete in a division with the Eagles and Jalen Hurts, who I think will not be as bad as he was last year. Dak Prescott, who was an all-pro, hard to do, runner-up to MVP, and we know their roster is still going to be good. And I really like the moves that Washington made. So what do I say about the Giants this year?
But had you acquired Penix, had you acquired JJ, had you acquired Nix, I think we'd be saying the same thing.
I wouldn't.
Because JJ and Bo Nix, in my mind, they're not that good, with all due respect. And they're not first round top six overall good. And then Penix, he got injury questions. So for the talent questions of JJ and Bo, Penix got the injury questions 2-5. So where do you stand?
Before I go, what questions does Daniel Jones have? So there's all the guys that we don't know what they like in NFL, right? And rookies. What's his question mark? What's
ceiling?
Can't stay healthy.
Listen, man, I get it. It's a great pick because he's a great wide receiver, right? But who's throwing the ball? Like Daniel Jones is awful, though. He's not good. So he's going to keep playing this game? We'll just get great players just with a bad quarterback? Because I thought it was going to work out.
What was the alternative?
Draft a quarterback.
Which one? Because they did try. So the alternative.
They didn't try. What do you mean try?
They tried to get a trade.
Okay, but you're still sat where you sat and still had an opportunity to take all three of those guys.
My thing is, like, you could have tried to trade up to get him.
They tried. Right?
Okay, you could have tried harder. Gave up more. No, seriously, you gave up more.
I mean, that's valid.
Listen,
you can always pay more.
I watched.
It's true.
I remember when Sammy Watkins was with the Buffalo, and I got there. I said, yo, why did y'all go so crazy to get Sammy Watkins? You know what they said? We wanted him. That's an easy answer. It's so simple. If you want somebody, go get him.
But here's my problem is, and again, I'm too much of a college football nerd because when I leave these shows on Fridays, I go and I do a 12-hour show on Saturdays. McCarthy, Bo Nix are not six overall picks. I do not even think they are improvements on Daniel Jones. They're just, based on their college tape, they simply are not. Michael Penix, I do believe he is an improvement. But the dilemma with Michael Penix is he tore his ACL twice, he broke his clavicle, and he had an AC joint. So you're going to trade on Daniel Jones, who be injury prone, for another quarterback who's injury prone.
But you didn't need a trade, though. You didn't need a trade at that position.
Trade out. Like, you're going to get rid of DJ.
You could have sat at that position and taken any of those three picks.
But I'm talking about trading a hurt dude.
Yeah. But my thing is, even with him getting hurt, he balls out, though. Penix.
What is the upside to possibility over known?
In my mind, there is JJ. I'm taking JJ and Bo off the board.
I'm not devaluing your evaluation or anyone else's evaluation of these players. But Brock Purdy was the last pick in the draft.
Mm-hmm.
Like, there are exceptions to this rule. Dak Prescott was not a first overall pick.
Correct.
Russell Wilson wasn't in the top 10.
Doesn't that suggest the inverse? Because the reason I would suggest, and I love Brock Purdy, I would suggest Brock Purdy had so much help, and Brock Purdy had so much success, and Jalen Hurts had so much success, and Dak Prescott had so much success, is because they had a crazy talented roster. In respects to,
we are doing our evaluations, and some of them will be right, and some of them will be wrong. And that's really what the draft is.
Yes.
That's all it is. Like, we literally don't know. When we guess right, we're like, see how good we are. And when we guess wrong, we're like,
Don't pull that clip up. Don't worry about that.
We don't know. Like, we're doing our best, and sometimes we're right, and then sometimes we're wrong, and it's almost equal in both or more wrong in every single draft. So my point is, to Shady's point, what are the questions with Daniel Jones? Because he's going to be gone. So are you counting on Daniel Jones being kind of okay this year? Because if that's the case, he's not gonna be good, right? Mm-hmm. Not good. He's just gonna be okay. At best, he will get to the playoffs and win a playoff game. And that is also contingent on lots of other people being bad, right?
But doesn't that, like, to me, if you're the Giants, 2 years ago, the last time Daniel Jones was healthy.
Is that the same roster?
Offensively, yeah. They had Saquon 2 years ago when you're hoping that Malik Neighbors can Saquon give you that kind of 1,300 yards. Saquon gave you 1,300. You're hoping Malik can give it to you differently. The reason I'm cool with it is because JJ and Bo Nix and Penix should not go number six overall. They just shouldn't. They can't go six overall.
But Penix went eighth overall.
He went eighth overall, and he's not going to play immediately. Because, like, what y'all are saying, Shady, if you don't believe in rookies, and if the expectation can't be high on rookies, then if the Giants would have acquired a rookie to do what? To throw away this year anyway.
I mean, but you're still getting better, though, right? Because, like, you look for the future. Like, when I look at – this is why I said they should have drafted a rookie, because where's Daniel Jones? What is that? I watch him play. They manage the game like he's a rookie. They don't want to throw the ball too much. They don't want to throw deep too much. They want to run the ball, RPOs with him, because they treat him like a rookie. So if you don't give a veteran quarterback all this money, right, and you're going to play their veteran quarterback as a rookie, give him a rookie type of game plan, why not go out there and get you a potential rookie that has some talent that potentially could take your team
eventually? Can we air some dirty law, like a dirty secret? Can we just speak plainly? The Giants aren't trying to get to the playoffs right now. Like, they're not a team to be taken seriously, in my opinion anyway, right now, regardless of what they had done, whether it was a quarterback or a receiver. They're not a factor in this race. So what would you rather have? Would you rather have a quarterback who has no help, who's going to get the hell beat out of him probably this year in a non-winning season? Or would you agree a stud receiver like Malik Neighbors, if he's good, can go crazy? He can have a good rookie season, even if it's Daniel Jones and Drew Lock. Would you rather have a quarterback getting beat to hell or a receiver and maybe some additional skill players that the Giants draft who will get ready for next year when they make their move? Because I'm comfortable saying right now they will move on from Daniel Jones in 2025, and whether it's a free agent or you try again in the draft, you get your receiver next year, and the Giants will be a more complete roster ready to compete then.
I can get with that. Just don't talk to me about what they're going to do this year.
No, I don't plan on it. I'm going to say, hey, I'm going to check in on Malik
is he good? Conversations in 2024, so I'm not going to participate in that.
But you even say Giants could do what they did 2 years ago.
This year?
If Daniel Jones comes back,
everybody can't make the playoffs, Emmanuel. We got to draw the line somewhere. Like, who's everybody's making the playoffs?
I think the Giants could win nine.
It's hard to see. If Daniel Jones comes back and he's great, I mean, Brian Daboll, I still think, is a really good coach.
Good coach.
I can see it, but I wouldn't. I wouldn't call it realistic.
Everybody can't make the playoffs. NFC North, they can't make the playoffs. And this division, NFC East, like, there's only so many playoffs.
Can we also, as long as I'm being blunt and mean, can we admit, like, the Giants getting there in the first place was an aberration? Like, that was taking advantage of a weak schedule and just lightning in a bottle.
But
that
Giants, was not. But also, I would say the Giants picking at number six was as well. Well, because Daniel Jones stays healthy the whole season. Correct.
But they were also bad at the beginning of the season before any of that stuff happened.
That's true, but I trust Brian Daboll. Brian Daboll's just good.
He is good, but he's not Jesus. Like, there's limitations here. Like,
true, but think about that.
He made wine out of a rock with the Daniel Jones situation. Like, it's not to be blasphemous here, but, like, he did a lot.
He did.
Like, I don't want to get crazy with what we expect from Daboll, which is why I really want to see him with somebody that has the talent that he can craft.
I guess most importantly, I trust Daboll to have made the right decision.
I trust Daboll to have made the right decision. Then, yes, I can get with you.
When we return, it is Friday, so that means Joy is handing out some flowers, Friday flowers, some of the best unknown stories in sports that you need to hear about, some of the best storylines in sports. Friday flowers when we return. Welcome back to Speak. It's time for America's favorite segment, Friday Flowers. Joy, take it away.
Thanks, Emmanuel. Before I get started, want to give flowers to all of the young men drafted last night. A life-changing accomplishment for themselves and their families. I love seeing draft night dreams come true. So congratulations to all of them and to all of the young men that are going to be drafted this weekend. Very exciting weekend for everyone. Jim Harbaugh was in the Chargers draft room last night where he watched the quarterback of his national championship Michigan team get drafted to the Vikings. But before the Wolverines' undefeated 15-0 run to the Natty, Harbaugh promised his squad that he would get a tattoo if Michigan pulled off the perfect season. Well, he's a man of his word and got his right shoulder inked up with a Michigan M and the Wolverines 15-0. So flowers him for keeping his word. That is a serious tattoo to get, and he will forever be a Michigan man. I think only me and Dave have tattoos up here.
Is that right?
Yeah. I think it's just me. Yeah, Michelle has one as well. Sue Bird won 4 championships with the Seattle Storm as a player and now hopes to bring that same level of success to the team as a part of the ownership group. In 2002, Bird was drafted first overall by the Storm, where she played her entire WNBA career before retiring in 2022. She also won 5 Olympic gold medals, casual, during her hoops career, and she's the co-founder of the media and commerce company Together, which promotes equality and diversity in sports. Flowers to Sue Bird for smoothly transitioning from the court to ownership and paving way for others to do the same. Very exciting stuff. Congrats to Sue Bird. MJ, still winning, y'all. Not on the basketball court. He's my GOAT, and he found victory lane on Sunday when his team, 2311 Racing, won its first NASCAR Cup race with MJ in attendance. Driver Tyler Reddick outraced 37 other cars to win the Geico 500 at Talladega. All of this went down on Fox, and those who tuned in to see his airness, very, very happy in victory lane. Many questioned Michael as an NBA owner, but nobody can say that Team Jordan isn't a winner on the track. This is 2311 Racing's 6th win since the organization was formed in 2021. So flowers to the greatest basketball player of all time on finding even more wins.
Flowers to MJ on that one, big dog. Joy, what's up with your horse team? You got a horse. You own a horse, right? Remember that
horse race?
Remember last year, didn't you have a horse race?
I do remember that.
Jason's Road was in the Kentucky Derby.
Yeah, just thinking of MJ, I was like...
I'm still a horse owner.
So when's this... When the race, though?
I have multiple owners. I'm a horse's man.
Yeah.
Well, no, I'm trying to think, because Michael just won. So I was like,
race in the Kentucky Derby.
They all race in the Kentucky Derby. There's races all year long. You have to qualify for the Kentucky Derby.
I was waiting to give flowers to Joy after the...
I always say flowers. It's Friday. The dress is cute.
You just buy her flowers because. Why does it have to be something?
Because it's a Friday thing, Dave. It's a Friday. It's a Friday flowers. But you act like you've been here before.
You could buy her flowers on Friday.
Only on Friday.
I don't think it's going as
That's Tuesday. Not how it works, Dave.
Whatever.
Not how the heck it works.
Bring me on more often and I'll get it right.
Dog, you all last year you was here every Friday and now you forgot how Friday flowers works. One draft and you lose your mind.
We return
back to the NFL draft. First round, what moves had us scratching our head? Family, we've celebrated. We've talked all about the winners, but it's time to give you all an unfortunate truth. Who was the biggest loser last night? Come back for that emotional conversation. Next on Speak. Back
to the NFL draft. Teams made some great moves, but some teams made some questionable moves. Some teams got rave reviews, and other teams left us scratching our heads. Family, we told you who won the draft, but now let's talk about who lost at 2-5. Who is the biggest loser of the NFL draft?
I'm with the Vikings, right? When I watch Michigan, who is ran by
Harbaugh last year,
right? If you look at the way he runs his offense, runs his teams, wants to run the ball, play good defense, throw the ball here and there. That's not his thing. Right now, he has one of the best quarterbacks in football, right, with Herbert. And he's still drafting linemen, right? He's getting rid of the wide receivers. He's adding more bigger linemen running the ball. Yeah, it's smash mouth football, same way he did in Michigan. And I don't understand that because it's like, well, why you go out here and get you a quarterback like this? What shows you that JJ can go out there and win games for you? What shows you go out there and I'm talking about winning games with his arm.
Mm-hmm. You're talking about J.J. McCarthy.
Yeah, J.J. McCarthy. What showed, like, so when I say the Vikings the biggest losers, because you go out there and get J.J., like, what shows you that? When I watch this tape, I mean, maybe it's something I don't know. I don't know his leadership.
No, you know.
Right? I don't know what type of player he is in the huddle. I don't know that. And those things matter. That's not an attribute for that, but it does matter. But when I watch his game tape, right, let me take these shades off when I say this.
Too.
Nothing jumps off like, yo, we got to add this dude at number 10. Mm. So when he has the biggest loser, I'm going to go with him. I guess the only thing I can say is he's a winner.
Look, let me take mine off.
He did get a championship.
Hey, let me take mine off, too. I need to see how Shady sees it because I see it the exact same way. I had two answers. I'm going with the Vikings. When you think about the top five quarterbacks, Caleb, Drake, Jaden, Penix, and J.J., all those teams ran through their quarterbacks except for one, Michigan. And J.J. McCarthy. And it's not as though they had Bijan Robinson or Adrian Peterson or Reggie Bush or LaShawn McCoy at running back. They had Blake Corum, who will likely go in the fourth round. So you want me to be sold on a quarterback who wasn't even the driving factor of his team's success? Nah, I can't do it. I watched a lot of J.J.'s tape, and then I went back and rewatched his tape to see, maybe I'm tripping. What don't I see? Nothing looks special to me. Nothing looks special. Looks good, doesn't look special. When we return, we will hear the special answers from Joy Taylor and Dave Hellman on this very same question. Who were the biggest losers, family? Who? We know who won, but who lost? That's next on Speed. Family, back to the biggest losers in the draft. We talked about the winners. We celebrated it. A huge day for so many people. But now let's talk about the teams. Joy, who was the biggest loser in your mind after day one?
I'm surprised, I guess. Like, the Bills?
You don't like the Bills not making a pick?
Not making a pick, but then you help the Chiefs out on top of it.
Yeah, that's the thing.
Maybe the Bills maybe have learned that lesson by now.
You would think.
Stop doing business with the Chiefs.
They did not do it. Like, they made it, and then the Chiefs were immediately like, thank you. And I get it. They're going to take a receiver, but, man.
Yeah, I don't like helping the Chiefs.
It's
that
tough.
Thing.
Like,
that,
why are you doing that?
Just helping, say no. If the Chiefs call, just hang up.
Yeah.
Not pick it. It's like it's,
they're about to get you.
If like, they're on the, if Brett Veach is on the other line, like you just don't.
Yeah,
pick, don't
you're not equipped.
Did you dislike? Because Joy, I didn't mind them not taking a receiver because at the point in which they were drafting, I think the receiver, the one they want, I think they know they can get an A.D. Mitchell from Texas. But I'm not helping the Chiefs. Don't help the Chiefs.
And I think Xavier Worthy probably would have been there for the Chiefs at 32, maybe. Mm-hmm. But just the principle of the thing. And they didn't get this crazy haul for doing it. Like, they got like a third round pick, I think. It was the.
They moved up 35 spots.
They need a lot. They moved up, but. Like,
I get it.
Optics wise, and immediately what the Chiefs did,
don't help the team you can't beat. Like, how does that play in Buffalo with the mafia too? You know, like, how do they feel about that?
I have to imagine the mafia didn't have a great night last night.
No, I would guess not. I already spent a lot of time on it. They're behind me, the Atlanta Falcons, and I want to say it one more time. It's not a Michael Penix Jr. thing. It's really not. I like him as a player. I just, in a world where the Michael Penix Jr. pick works out, it's 2026 probably. And this is a team that spent $180 million to compete right now. This is a team that could have made hay toward winning the NFC South. Potentially, if the guy they drafted 8 overall on defense is a difference maker, if they draft a 14, 15, 16 sack player at number 8, this is a team that could join the conversation with like the Eagles and the Niners as being like an elite NFC team. That's not unreasonable to think, but they made a play for the future. Maybe it'll work. Maybe I'll look really silly when Michael Penix Jr. is the next Patrick Mahomes. If it's not that, then this was dumb. And even if that happens, I'll be able to look back and say, man, that's 2 years where you could have loaded up behind Michael Penix.
Don't make him Pat. Don't make him Pat. Can you make him Jordan Love?
Okay.
If it's as seamless as that, I'm with it.
Even still, the Packers, and the Jordan Love thing was great. I'm not knocking that. It worked out for them. But they got 1 year out of Jordan Love before now we're talking about paying him $55 million. That's the world you're living in when you do this. You don't get the benefit of the cheap rookie contract because he sits for half of it. And if Michael Penix Jr. is great 3 years from now, I'm going to say, what could they have been if they weren't paying Kirk Cousins all that money when he was younger?
They could have been Kirk Cousins, who's been in the league 12 years and had one playoff win. So probably somewhere around that.
It's just right. The process doesn't make sense to me. I don't think it ever will. But if Michael Penix Jr. becomes a Hall of Fame caliber player, I'll get on here and issue all the apologies in the world.
When we return, it is Friday, so it's time to show y'all the best of the best of the best from the week. The highlights of the week. Come laugh with us. Come enjoy with us. You know, before you go to happy hour or whatever y'all do on Fridays at around. Yeah. LaShawn McCoy is back in the building. One of the best to ever do what he does, except gamble.
Welcome back, Shay.
Thank you.
He looks a little lighter.
He does.
Like the suit?
No, I'm in the pocket.
You can find some James Joneses and some Shadys in the second and the third rounds. Oh. That's what you were second round, right?
Is this live?
Let me start it over.
Start all the way over.
It don't matter where you drafted. Mm-hmm. You can be in the second round and be an all-pro player.
I'm done buying big threes. I'm selling my big three stock from here on out. Mm. We're seeing it right now with the Suns. We saw it with KD with the Nets. We're seeing teams destruct big threes before our eyes.
Like Tyrese say, what else do you want from me?
What do you want from me? That's Tyrese Morales abortion mess day to day. You had coffee today?
What a week, what a week, what a week, what a week. We're going to talk about the Lakers or?
Do we have to? We have to.
You know,
so brutal.
You don't have to. 0-3. You just want to take a victory lap.
Not yet. I'll take it on Monday. Dave, draft is in 1 hour. That we resume with the second round. Who's going to be first off the board?
A receiver to the Buffalo Bills. Maybe from your alma mater?
I think AD goes.
Adonai Mitchell?
I think AD Mitchell.
Cook and Warns?
I mean, whatever.
Is that like sacrilegious?
Nah.
Dave is such a frat kid. Family, appreciate y'all hanging with us. You could be watching any show and you spent 90 minutes with us. We don't take it for granted. Y'all have a phenomenal weekend. We'll see you.